I would like for you to please turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we're going to spend a little time here this morning. The last couple of weeks, we've looked at some things regarding prayer. And although we haven't looked at the verse in James, I think most of us are familiar with it, where it speaks regarding the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we've looked at some prayers. We looked at Solomon's prayer, the dedication of the temple, which is just great. And then some examples of how God honored what he had said to Solomon, that he had heard his prayer. But I thought this morning what we'd do is look at John 17, which, when you think about this, it's just incredible. You know, the time at which we're going to read this is just prior to Jesus Christ going into the garden. From where he would be taken. And we're going to see in this prayer, it just blows my mind that God has included this prayer in his word, that we get to see this. But this was his prayer. And you're going to see that relationship that he had with his heavenly Father. The oneness of his carrying out and completing what he had been given to do. You know, the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ are, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And that's what we read here in this prayer. And you see a couple of other things. We'll stop at a few points, but you're going to see the relationship. You're going to see the absolute commitment. You're going to see his recognition of who he was and who God was and what it was that was about to be fulfilled. It's really amazing. Jesus Christ went in by free will, and he went in with eyes open. So it's a pretty intense time. It would get more intense when he gets in the garden. We're not going to take time there today. But just to read some of these things and see the heart and the relationship, there's some great learning here, which we'll see. So we're going to begin in verse 1. And again, this is that evening. There are a number of great things that have preceded this, some wonderful teaching, a couple of maybe we'll glance at. But here he is, just prior to going into the garden. And in verse 1 it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son," or "in order that," would be a simple way to understand that, "in order that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power or authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." I just want to stop here for a moment. This word glorify, it's kind of neat to understand as we read here. Simply, in this context, it is to bring honor to, or to reveal the greatness of a thing. And what he opens his prayer with, and it's really beautiful because it's Father and Son. Father, Son, you know, you are glorified. Glorify thy Son. See, Jesus Christ recognized that he was the revealing or the manifestation of God's care and love for men. And that what he was about to do, the sacrifice that he was about to render, would bring honor, would reveal the greatness of God. Isn't that something? And they would do this together. That's what's so beautiful here. Then, verse 2 says, "As thou hast given him authority power or authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There's a lot wrapped up in that verse. You could start in Philippians 2 regarding this authority over all flesh. Because there is a day coming where the word says every knee is going to bow. Because God has made him Lord. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 2 speaks to eternal life. Verse 3 speaks to its purpose, that they might know thee, God, and your Son. Isn't that something? It's just a great thing to see and understand. The HCSB version, I love this translation of this verse because it's beautiful. This is eternal life, verse 3, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. See? That's its purpose. You know, God gives us the end. If you go to the end of the book, Revelation, it talks a little bit about God dwelling with or tabernacling with men. Isn't that something? And all of this is wrapped up in what we're reading here. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. Was it literally finished yet? No. But so committed was his Son that it was as good as done. Isn't that something? And now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And what this is referring to is the word world is the word cosmos. And its essence is the order or arrangement of a thing. And Jesus Christ, this is really beautiful to see, he is speaking of that time before the world, that order or arrangement was. And what he is referring to is Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And in 15 he says, I will put enmity. And this vow was made to the adversary, to the devil, to the serpent. That's who he was speaking to. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He will crush your, how does it go? Thou shalt bruise his seed, his heel, and he will crush your head. There's a lot wrapped up in that vow that God had made. That vow that God had made to the devil was made before the pronouncement of Adam's transgression was pronounced, and the whole order and arrangement of everything changed at that point. It was about to go through another change here, which you can read about somewhere else. But this is what Jesus Christ is referencing. Isn't that something? And as we read, you see that he so understood who he was and the vow that he was about to carry out on behalf of his Father, recognizing fully what the results of that would be. And all of this is in his prayer. It's just, I don't know, it just blows my mind when I read this. Verse 6, I have manifested, or I have revealed thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gave them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's something. You know, all through this prayer, and I keep pointing this out for a reason, which we'll get to, but pay attention to this oneness between the Son and the Father. How so on the same page they were. It's breathtaking. All that God had given him were his, but they were also whose? The Father's. See, they were totally in this together. You know, earlier in the Gospel of John, he makes a statement. All of you will scatter. You'll leave me, but I'm not alone. The Father is what? He's with me. And when this all came down to it, when it was all said and done, it was him and the Father. Really something. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ was still in the world at this point, but his prayer was the light of these men. We'll see here he's praying for his disciples, but then he prays for all who will follow. We get in on this. Isn't that something? I am no longer in the world. His prayer is in light of what was going to happen, what he would fulfill, what he would carry out. And he wasn't done going through some of the loops he would go through before he finally gave himself over. But this prayer is in light of what he knew he would do and accomplish. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. As we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept. None of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from, and the King James says, the evil. A better translation of this is to keep or protect from the evil one. This is part of his prayer. Keep a ribbon here. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, which references another prayer. That Jesus Christ prayed. This is immediately after the boys had a little argument about who was going to be greatest. Those guys, right? And so Jesus Christ teaches them about service. And it's not like the Gentiles. It's not like the world. That's not how this works. He who is greatest among you will be your servant. And that's what he teaches them. And after he's done teaching them this, he gets down. What verse is it? 31. That's where I want to start. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have what? I have prayed for thee. That's something. I have prayed for thee. And then it says, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Not only will you be sifted as wheat, but I've prayed that you strengthen your brethren. Did Peter do that after he was converted? He absolutely did. You know what's remarkable here? It's immediately after this. This is when he tells Peter, you're going to deny me. Ha! Isn't that, it's just, you know. But Jesus Christ had prayed for him. And it was Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost. Really something. Let's go back to John 17. In verse 15 again, I pray, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep or protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Look at the sameness here between his disciples and him regarding some of these truths. Even as I am not of the world, they are not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Boy, what place did Jesus Christ hold the word of God? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have what? Given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. There's a lot of oneness going on here in this prayer. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast what? Loved me. What a verse. Now, you got a ribbon here, I hope. I want you to go to 1 John real quick, and we're going to read something. 1 John, we looked at this a few weeks back. I'm going to read that verse again in John 18. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start, and I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Here is love, or here is the love. Not that we loved God, but that he what? That he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is what? Perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. as we have seen and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we've known and believed the love that God has to us. God is what? God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, this day of judgment is referring not only to the future, but it also refers to man's day or man's judgment, this time in which we live, that we might have boldness in both. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about love, okay, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are what? We in this world. What's the context we're reading about? We're reading about love. We're reading about love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God what? That's right. We are as loved as Jesus Christ was loved. We are loved now as he is loved. Isn't that something? That's why we have boldness. Okay. And there is no fear. There's no fear of that future judgment or of anything that might arise today. Because we are as loved by the Father as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that kind of understanding and what we read here in John 17... there is great teaching in this prayer on how we can pray to the Father. Isn't that something? And the relationship that we have with the Father because we're in Christ. Verse 18, might as well read it, we're here. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And then the next verse simply reads, we love because he first loved us. See? It's kind of a love sandwich in this section. Let's go back to John 17. Verse 23 again, it says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation or the overthrow of the world. We're going to go one more place here, and it's just a page or two. John 14. And I wanted to read this in light of... You know, this is right after. One of the times he had told Peter, you're going to deny me. And the next words out of his mouth are, let not your heart be troubled. You know, I don't know, it blows my mind. Here's Peter, you know, I'm going to die with you. No, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. Let not your heart be troubled. Isn't that beautiful? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that something? See? And that day will come in this prayer that we're reading, where they will behold that glory. that the Father has given to the Lord Jesus Christ. See. Let's go back to John 17 and we'll finish. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare. What a wonderful thing to see. I've declared unto thee thy name, unto them thy name. You know, that name, it's a word, but it's referencing who God is. You know, his ways, his characteristics, what he thinks is important. All of those things are wrapped up in what Jesus Christ did. He said to Philip, Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus Christ says, you've been with me. He's seen me, has seen the Father. And so when we read about the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're reading about the Father. We're reading about his characteristics, how he thinks. See? You know, the way Jesus Christ loved, the way Jesus Christ healed, the way that he taught. It's really remarkable when you read sometimes, or some of these places in the Gospels, the things that you think would bother, don't. You know, the things that sometimes we think God thinks is such a big deal. Not really. It's just kind of people stuff. And just how Jesus Christ so beautifully handles it. It's really something. So this Jesus Christ said, faithfully done. I've shown them thy name. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and what? And I in them. It was after this great prayer that, you know, he went into the garden. And he went back to the Father while he was in the garden and asked three times, you know, if we can figure out another way to do this. But there wasn't. And Hebrews says at that time is that's when he learned obedience. Because there's just a, you know, he knew what he was going to go through. But when it was all done, what he said was, it is what? It's finished. See? And at that moment, he had to commend himself to he who judges righteously. And he died. He died believing that God would raise him from the dead in 3 days. And Jesus Christ was dead. He wasn't sort of dead. He was dead. And, you know, God glorified him again, just like we read a little earlier, when he raised him from the dead. Isn't that something? And really, that's what it was all about. Because there's another place in the scriptures, a couple places, where it says, and it's referencing his resurrection, and the word says, this day have I begotten thee. This is what it was all about. Jesus Christ resurrected. See? He's the firstborn. This is where he was headed. This was the end of it. See? And that's what he looked forward to. And you know, we read this prayer and we look back on what he accomplished, and all we're waiting for now is his return. Isn't that something? And we'll be gathered together and we'll have bodies like his. We're going to be part of that new race of men that this was all about. See, of which Jesus Christ is the firstborn. It's just breathtaking when you put these things together and what we're a part of. But to see and learn, you know, the heart of that kind of prayer and that kind of relationship with the Father, and to understand that we are as loved by him as Jesus Christ was loved and is loved by him. So, amen. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your kindness, and your word, and for all that our Lord accomplished on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for how you faithfully did all that you've promised and will faithfully do all that you've promised. And that, Father, we can absolutely rest in that. Thank you for these things in the name of our Lord. Amen.